Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Over there is Sarah.
It's me.
And under there's Chris.
Hello, everybody.
Now, the term a sliding doors moment became a term popularized in the late 20th century, meaning tiny, seemingly inconsequential moments that nonetheless alter the trajectory of future events. So then, have you had a sliding doors moment?
Oh, see, I really like the idea of sliding doors moments. I definitely think they're a thing. And I can certainly pinpoint one in my life that I think had a huge effect was when I was about 15 and my parents decided I needed to go out and get a Saturday job, which is fair enough. So we went up and down the high street in the local town, going in and saying, do you need a Saturday girl? Do you need someone to stack the shelves or whatever? And we went right up the high street. No. Right back down again on the other side, still no. And then we were just going past a shop and I didn't think it was a ironmonger's hardware shop. And I was like, oh, well, actually, I think the woman who's the teenage girl who's working there is off to uni. Oh, like, they'll probably never want someone like me, but let's just go in. And it turned out they were looking for someone. And that
just
job
like you.
Led me to meet just like me. Mm-hmm. So I met a friend who also worked there, who we became friends. She ended up going to the university that I would go to. And she basically convinced me to go to the same college as her when I was there.
Wow.
And if I hadn't gone into that shop and met her, I don't think I'd have ended up at that university. I definitely wouldn't have picked the college I went to. And that has shaped my friendships for many years. Like, who knows what would have happened if I hadn't gone in there? So I honestly think that the choice to just stick my head in the door of that shop and go, you know, any job's going, completely changed my life.
That's interesting.
So that's
So straight away, when you said, Sarah, that you sort of, if you like, believe in sliding doors moments, I get the sentiment completely, and I'm also going to say a couple of moments that would sort of back it up, but I do also think that the whole idea of sliding doors moments is like life is full of them. We have them potentially every day, if you see what I mean. You're just pinpointing, you're highlighting particular moments that sort of seem nothing. So I suppose I need more convincing because I just sort of think that they're just moments, if you see what I mean.
But I
don't know.
No, I agree in that things like, you might trip on the cat when you're going down the stairs and fall and break your neck.
Yeah.
And if the cat hadn't, you know, like the most mundane things like that can have effects. But I think the thing is, like, you don't know how many things in your life.
Well, this is it.
Could have, you know, if you'd been in the car 10 seconds earlier, would it have crashed?
Yeah.
Mm.
If you, but, you know, all that kind of thing.
But that's, I think, as if it has a longer lasting impact on everything going forward. So as you said, if you trip over the cat and break your neck and then you lose your job and then you lose your home and then you know, lots of stuff, like, you could say that.
You've had a
but if you, if you recovered from the accident, then it's not really going to have a long-term effect. I think that's why it's interesting about yours.
Yeah.
I actually think that is a sliding doors moment because, as you said, it shaped everything after that. That's what's fascinating about it.
Like, I would not be the person I am today without going into that shop in 2000 and whatever. When I am so firm in that conviction. It's not like, oh, things might have still turned out this way. It's like, no, that shaped the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Well, Sarah, do you believe in fate? Do you believe things happen for a reason?
That's a bit of a tricky one.
I mean, I appreciate that could be a sort of podcast in itself, but I don't. I don't think everything happens for a reason and so on and so forth. And I think that's why maybe with sliding doors moments, I kind of, when people, oh, well, it was meant to be and all that kind of bollocks. And I just think...
No, I think it's the opposite. It's saying that one little thing.
I agree. But I think some people often say... I think basically with sliding doors moments, if you lift the lid on that underneath there, whether it's a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding of what's going on, you get a lot of naff chat, I think. That's why when we decided to do that, I thought, Chris and Sarah, as they often do, can put me right. Chris, yes. Have you got anything? Okay, fire away, Zach.
On the fate thing, I think it's interesting because fate is, I thought about this beforehand. I was trying to look about around for definitions of fate. And so the one I found is it's a force outside of our control that makes things happen. But there's a distinct difference between fate and destiny. And I find it interesting. I'm with you, Marcus. Yeah, okay. I do not believe in fate. I think with fate there's a resignation about the inevitable, which I think renders me powerless and almost a slave to fortune. I find that quite disempowering and depressing, actually, and actually renders me not responsible for my life because it's not my fault. So I don't subscribe to that at all. But destiny, it's something to which you're meant to do, but you need to engage with it as well. So,
So it's different things.
Exactly. So it would be what happens when you're meant to do something, but you add in commitment and a commitment to grow and to learn and things like that. And I guess, you know, Marcus, you love a football chat, but like how many players do we see down the years with great potential? Yeah. But so they probably had, you know, essentially like a destiny where they could be great. They always had a natural ability and they never did it. So the classic one at the moment is a footballer called Ravel Morrison, who coming through the ranks at Man United, everyone's now saying was better than Paul Pogba. But one obviously applied themselves and the other one didn't. So I don't think there's fate involved in that. I think one has gone, I am just going to dedicate myself to this, and then the other one hasn't. So I'm with you. I can't accept fate. It just feels like weird.
Well, I think the idea that everything happens for a reason, it's kind of like, okay, did that person get mugged for a reason? You know, you really do open up to chaos theory. But perhaps I've gone off track there, so sorry. But to get us back on track, connected. What I would say...
I do think they're connected.
Well, okay, fair enough. I shouldn't be so harsh on myself.
Credit to yourself.
Stop
being
kind to yourself, Marcus. You're very good at this.
I'm good at being kind to myself, especially in lockdown, my goodness. A major study found that 80% of British people have experienced a sliding doors moment which changed their lives. Mm-hmm. But when you unpack this a bit, it's not always great. Obviously, there is largely the stories of people meeting, their partner and so on. You think about if someone meets someone in a bar, the classic kind of cliched scenario. Well, you know, what if they weren't there that night? What if they, blah, blah, blah. There's all that kind of stuff. But also, unfortunately, there are some not so good stories in which people say, oh, well, had I not have left work early, I wouldn't have gone home and found my partner cheating on me. So there's that kind of thing. Or something slightly different when somebody takes a different route home from work. They avoid an accident and they don't know why they took that route home. Maybe the sun was out and they thought, oh, do you know what? I'll have a drive down by the river instead of the usual route or whatever it may be.
So I think it's interesting on kind of we mentioned fate and destiny and sometimes sort of having a funny feeling about something. So I've actually had this before. And I mean, for me, it comes down to, because I'm a Christian, so I would kind of think that comes from God. I know, you know, people have different takes on that kind of thing. But actually, I don't think I would be with my partner if it wasn't for one of those funny feelings, because I was supposed to be going away for an Easter weekend with some friends. And I Christian cannot tell you what on earth. I know, right? They were Christian friends as well. I cannot tell you what came over me. Like, I am not a person who cancels things at last minutes. I think we've talked about this in other shows. I cannot cancel things at the last minute. I just, you know, it makes me feel too bad. But I just had this overwhelming feeling of like, I just don't want to go. I don't know why. Love these people. Going to be a nice weekend. I just don't want to go. And so in the end, I just thought, right, well, I'm just going to have a nice weekend in London and I'll just see some friends. And so I pulled out the holiday and was there in London, and I just happened to text my now partner because we'd met up for a drink just purely as friends. And I just said, well, you know, turns out I am actually around at Easter. You know, if you fancy going to the pub or anything, you know, just let me know. And that was the first time, you know, that we met up and kind of realised that, oh, actually, it wasn't platonic. And from there, you know, we started seeing each other regularly. And now, I think 3 years down the line, nearly, you know, that happened. Yeah. And I honestly believe there was something about that weird feeling of cancelling that Easter break.
But I think that's for me where there's a key, like there's some things that feels like they're meant to be, which for me is the destiny bit. But actually, you still have to engage in it. And, you know, your relationship, you still work it, right? It's not like, oh, we were destined to, or we were fated to be together and therefore everything's fine. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
No, there's like work is always involved in all these things. But that's where.
Yeah. And like, you know, you have a choice in it. You know, do I choose to text the person? Do I choose to do the whatever it may be? It's not that like it's thrust upon you. As just this is your life now, which, you know, I guess some of the things we talked about, you know, the car crashes or whatever awful thing happens. But I think some things, they involve you making a decision.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my little story there.
Nice. Chris, have you got any sliding doors moments?
I do, actually. And it's similar to Sarah in terms of I just moved to London. I mentioned on a previous show and I was looking for a job. And I remember walking around, I was applying for like jobs that would take a long time to go through a process, but then I also needed something quite immediately. Mm-hmm. So I was walking around central London with a friend, just looking for any old job, like, you know, going into clothes shops. I just wanted something whilst I was applying for other jobs. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking past a theatre and seeing there was an advert in the door for front of house staff. And we both stood there for a moment going, shall we? Should we go in there? I don't know. What is it? Like, and then we were like, all right, let's just do it. So even that, I remember umming and ahhing and then making the decision to go in there. And then I was only at that job for 3 months. But during that time, I then met some a girl that I dated for 4 years. And that relationship massively shaped a lot of things, good and bad. And it was amazing. That side of it was amazing. So actually, I feel like my character was shaped, but also I met a chap in there who's now a really, really good friend. And he actually was the one who helped me get the job at the UN. So even my kind of career trajectory and private thing all happened for me to go in through that door and then, you know, apply for a job. And then just met two people who significantly marked my life in various ways. So like you, Sarah, it's kind of like if I'd not gone in there, I actually don't know what my life would look like. I don't know who I would be a different person.
Weird. But the skeptic in me, Chris, would say, well, you're looking for a job. There was a job being advertised. And so you went in. Do you see what I mean? So I totally understand the fact
that if I hadn't gone in there, I wouldn't have met people like Sarah was saying that would significantly shape who I was as a person now. I would have got another job, sure, but I wouldn't have met people. Mm-hmm. I would have met different people, which might have had an effect, but not to the level that those two people and that job I had.
You don't know though.
But it would have shaped my life in a different way though. I think that it would have shaped. It would have been different people, so they would have shaped me in a different way. I'm not saying I wouldn't have been shaped. But where I am today is very distinctly connected to those two people. That would be where I think it was to counter your cynicism. So I would just say that I've had lots of different jobs, met lots of different people and dated different people that haven't shaped me the way they were shaped. I think that's the thing. It's the depth of the marking on my life. I think that's where for me it's a different thing.
And I also think that like the people that you meet, obviously, like I get what you're saying about, you know, the way that you've been shaped, like your personality and lots of things about you, but also things like you don't know that, you know, say you'd ended up getting a job in Sports Direct instead of in that theater, like you might have, like anything could have happened. You might have ended up in a plane crash.
But that's chaos theory, though. That's what I mean. Like, this, I think this is the point, is that when people sometimes say, oh, if I hadn't have done that, but you have to make a decision. So anything you choose to do, I think, I think these moments have to be quite spectacular, because if I took a job over there, even if I sat next to that person at that desk and I got to know that, but it, like everything is a sliding doors moment, if you see what I mean. That I think that's my cynicism, because I appreciate what you're saying, Chris. You went through that door, but if you hadn't, you'd have gone through another door, and that. But you just don't know. Like you just.
But I do know that I wouldn't have met the person that helped me get a job at the UN. Like I just, I would have, as we said, there would have been
absolutely
a career. But for me to say my, I had to meet that person for that thing to happen. So I think that's for me where life goes off in that way. I just wouldn't have had that career that I'd never thought about working there. I'd never, like, it wasn't something I dreamed to do. I was trying to get into the music business as a manager. Like it was completely gear changing for me.
Yeah, but this is where, so I've already said I don't believe things happen, everything happens for a reason, and believe in fate. However, you're currently training to be a vicar.
I am.
Do you think that all these jobs and career paths and bits and pieces that you've described there, do you think that actually, no matter which path you would have taken, you would be where you are now, or at least perhaps you'd have got there sooner, perhaps you'd have got there later, but do you think that ultimately you would have been led towards training to be a vicar?
That's a good question. I think I would have got to this point, and I think you're right, the time frame would have been very different, but I think that's different especially with a job where it feels like a vocation, where it's just that's not true. Working at the UN is an incredible job, and you know, it's a brilliant job. You go to any wedding and people are like, what do you do? I work for the UN. Oh, that's amazing, tell me more. I tell you, no one's ever said that about training to be a vicar, but but it's
really,
yeah, not one person. But what's interesting for me is I probably would have come to this because I do feel like it's a calling. And the only way I can describe that is if you date somebody, you don't. I'm married to my wonderful wife, and I've dated a lot of wonderful people actually, who they just weren't quite it. And there's nothing wrong with them. It just wasn't the thing, or it wasn't the person that it just.
You didn't click.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say the same for my careers. I was trying out various jobs, of which were incredible jobs, but it wasn't the thing. And actually, so I do think you're right in terms of I would have come to this moment, but I definitely, my character was shaped through experiences or through travels with my job or through some that person I dated. Like, as I said, I had quite a few relationships before my wife, but that one particularly marked me in a way that, I guess I'm always wrestling with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've got a proposition for what I think. This is like taking it away from like the personal to from the micro to the macro. I think I know what the UK's sliding doors moment was in the past decade.
Don't say Brexit.
It was Ed Miliband eating that bacon sandwich.
Now you're talking.
If he had never eaten that sandwich, if he instead had chosen any, like a cheese and pickle one and hadn't had the bacon bap, there'd have been no Brexit. There would have been no anything like that. And we'd all be, well, you know.
Do you think he would have got voted in because that was such a damning. that's a great shout for
Thank
a potential
you.
Sort of moment. I like that actually, and that's not to say that your chat wasn't good at all, Chris. I feel that, you know, I don't want to suddenly it's true. I find the chat of sliding doors moments on that macro level quite interesting. As you say, I was once on a sort of football panel thing, and we talked about sliding doors moments in football. And Jonathan Wilson, who's does podcasts with me on Football Ramble Daily, it was such a great answer. He said, if I could change one moment in football, this would be it. So like a sliding doors moment. He said, in the 1978 World Cup final, the Netherlands played Argentina and it went to extra time and the Netherlands hit the post. He says, if that goal goes in, he said, I think the Netherlands would have gone on to win the game. Now, the reason why this is, it's almost like butterfly effect, really, is what we're getting into now. If the Netherlands had won that game, he said, the at the time, the military junta, I think, was in charge in Argentina, or it was there or thereabouts. And Argentina winning the World Cup had this surge, and a big surge of nationalism. Mm-hmm. And it fed into the hands of the military junta, who would then be in charge of the country for however many years to come. There are still people who hold up placards and banners of missing people in Argentina, and it was an awful period in their history. Falkland Isles War, or Las Malvinas, as they call them, that was... yes, due to colonialism way back in the day, but also the kind of the spark that lit that war was the military junta as well. Appreciate it's not all one sided there, but if you see what I mean. So he said the sliding doors moment for him, if that goal had gone in, if whoever hit that shot, I forget who, was a tiny bit more accurate, it would have ultimately ended the military junta in Argentina quicker, and the Falklands War between Britain and Argentina wouldn't have happened.
Wow.
And I thought, give that man a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
This is it, though. Like, imagine if it had just been a few inches to the left or the right or whatever.
Mm.
And, you know, who knows what might have happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mind-boggling thought. I mean, you're talking about relationships and people meeting. I have to throw in a good friend of mine called Nick, who I believe listens to this podcast. And
hey, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I went traveling with this glorious man many, many years ago in 2005. And we went to South America, and we were in Argentina. In a particular place in Argentina, Mendoza, the city, and we'd been on this tourist sort of jaunt around the wineries there, and we'd got talking to a couple of people who were on the same tour as us, and we said, we meet up later, we'll go for a drink. It was a Friday night or Saturday night in Mendoza, and we said, yeah, and they said, we'll be in this bar, it looks like this, and this is the name, and we off memory, we were like, okay, yeah, fine. Hours later, myself, my mate, and two other guys we were with thought, all right, well, let's head out. Let's go and meet these people. And up this main high street in Mendoza, where all the bars are, there's loads of them. Obviously, tons of bars. There's loads of people out and about. So we walked the length of this street looking for this particular bar. And we were like, what's the name? It sounded like this. And we looked in all these bars for these people. And we were like, we can't find them. And then we sort of walked back down, and we were like, all right. And then we were a bit knackered. There was four of us. And I was a bit like, I'm just a bit tired. Like, should we just go back to the hostel? And then we said, all right, I'll tell you what, let's just have a drink. Let's have one drink and then go home. One of the other lads went, nah, bollocks, I'm knackered. We've been up since goodness knows what time. And he went back to the hostel. So my mate Nick, another guy, Alec, and I went and had a drink, and we sat down in this bar on his table. And then we were chatting English, and this girl spun round and was local, Argentina, and she could speak English fluently. And she said, hi, are you English? We chatted away, and I like England, blah, blah, blah. And we chatted there. And then she was with her two sisters and her mates. So we were like, this is a bit of a result. So we started chatting to them. And then so we chatted for hours with them. We got some lovely locals, and they speak English. Perfect. So we chatted for hours. They took us to this nightclub. We ended getting into the hostel at 9 a.m. the next morning.
What?
You dirty stuff.
And indeed. And then just kept in touch, in particular with this girl called Maria, who was the first one to speak to us. And we saw her a couple of times for the remainder of our trip. Anyway, fast forward, 15 years. Nick is now married to Maria. They have five children. They live in Mendoza.
No way!
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Like that is quite extraordinary, actually, because when you're chatting about all this stuff, I'm suddenly thinking to myself, well, hang on a minute, if that's not a sliding... Because I do often think, what if we'd have decided to go home? That, to me, significantly changes the history, or not the history, the future, because there's no way Nick would be living in Argentina, you know, speaking fluent Spanish, which is terribly impressive to us British people, and all this kind of stuff. You know, he might well have got married. He might, but I couldn't see him. There's no other kind of outcome in which, see, with you, Chris, when I say about your job, you know, becoming a vicar, absolutely, I get that. And I think that's obviously interesting. But with this, it's kind of like no one could have predicted that.
Yeah.
That is so out of from left field. It's crazy.
And it was the fact that it was like the night had gone a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone was a bit knackered and like,
yeah,
you know, it could have so easily gone another way.
What if Maria hadn't heard us speak in English?
What if you'd sat a few more tables away?
That is the kind of thing that makes my mind boggle. With these moments, you know.
Oh, I love it.
Can we go back to the bacon sandwich moment? I'm interested in why you think that was so significant in the election. I mean,
I've got to be honest. Like, I haven't thought it through to any specifics, but I just had this feeling that if that, do you remember? It was everywhere, that picture.
Was he in the lead before that?
Really, people were. He was the leader of the Labour Party at the time.
No, but was he in the lead in the kind of like, they were expected to get in, and that was like the start, that was the first domino of the downfall.
It was a huge shock. It was a huge shock that the result of that general election. And it was just, it was really used so much to make him look inept. And like, don't get me wrong, like, firstly, I am no expert in politics. You know, there are probably 100 more contributing factors, but there's just something about that moment to me that just feels like it was the turning point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just if he hadn't done it, I just don't think we'd be where we are in terms of, you know, politics and all that. I mean, I also do feel like, you know, coronavirus has just thrown everything out the window. So,
true,
you know, who knows? Maybe the pandemic would have come in anyway and we'd have all still been doing what we're doing now. But yeah, I think just the way, you know, the way things were like last year with Brexit and stuff like that, I just, no, I just think he should have chosen a cheese and pickle sandwich.
Yeah, that was spilled.
It's funny,
out,
I was listening to a podcast the other day, so a history podcast. And what you're saying there is that this historian who was on there was arguing or suggesting that actually it doesn't matter who the leaders are of the country, really. I mean, in terms of, you know, if you're not a dictator or any of that crap, other than extremes, it doesn't really matter so much. You always get the outcome because actually the trends, the big things that really influence life are not in, say, politics. Mm. They're people working away. You know, someone like Bill Gates is an obvious example, these types of people. And so you usually end up where you're sort of going to be heading to anyway, if you see what I mean, which does tap into this sort of idea of fate, although not really. And that was, I think, the point I'm making with you, Chris, is that I think you probably would have ended up, no matter which path you would have chosen, other than sort of extreme disastrous ones, you probably would have ended up maybe being, you know, going for vicarhood
maybe
and so
that,
on. And I would say the same myself.
But I'm not sure I would end up be with my now wife. As in, the reason I say that is because she's 9 years younger than me. And so, like, you know, kind of back then, I would have been 23. She would have been, whatever that is, 14. Which, when you say it like that, sounds really wrong. But anyway, we did get together then. But the thing is because of that relationship I had,
it significantly
affected my 20s. And things like that. Like, I could have met anybody else that I would have settled with, but actually it was a significant relationship that I then had to process through a lot of stuff afterwards. So I think that's where, for me, I do think that it might not have been with a career, or it would have got there earlier, but I think definitely the relationship side of it. With regards to your point on politics, I was thinking about, you were saying that we end up with essentially what we would end up with anyway, right? Like, people
well, that
in
was
charge
not my
that
point.
Make
that was
difference.
The That's, yeah. So that was the historian's point, not mine.
But it's funny because I've seen a lot of stuff on kind of the assassination of JFK, and actually he was the amount of changes he was trying to implement, especially with the banking system, going from kind of the Bank of America to Federal Reserve. I find that interesting because I do think you do get leaders who completely change the course of history. And there's always been this thing of, if he hadn't been assassinated, what would America look like now? So I'm not sure I'm agreeing.
But that's
with
an extreme example.
Friend. Yeah.
Well, no, but he did caveat that by saying out with extreme events and so on. He's saying in the general
didn't hear that, did I?
Runnings and doings of it.
What would happen to history if Chris had listened properly?
If I'd listened to the podcast Mark has talked about.
Yeah, I think assassinations usually do. It's a real sliding doors moment when I got assassinated.
There may have been like sliding doors moments in that attempt at assassination. If they'd chosen a different spot or if a slightly different angle, if it had been 2 centimeters out, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can drive yourself crazy with this.
But I think that's my point. But to use one, I mean, Margaret Thatcher, who was staying, was it in the Brighton Hotel?
Oh, yes, it's
something, you know, the IRA, was it the IRA?
Yeah.
I assume it was. Yeah. Forgive me if any of these details are wrong. Do apologize. But yeah, when a bomb went off, she happened to be, she was in her study working. She wasn't in the bedroom where they thought she was. And I think her husband had maybe got up to go to the loo or something. Basically, neither of them died, but it could have easily been blown up there. So that's another, you know, you could say it's a sliding doors moment. Her thinking, oh, I can't really sleep. Shall I crack on, or should I go and do some work? Or, you know what I mean? There you are. You see.
Yeah.
But yeah,
my brain feels a bit boggled after all this.
Exactly. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't have to scrutinize everything. If you'd have gone for the lemon Fanta instead of the orange Fanta, you know, would you be working?
You'd
where
have
you
made
are?
A bad decision.
Exactly. That's not how it works. So don't worry yourselves. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Sliding doors moments. I'm sure we've all got some examples. Some good. Some not so good. But we enjoy all of your correspondence. So do get it into us at AQQAPod on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us. We're back next week, of course, with another fabulous episode. But until then, thanks very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks, T.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.